If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I didn't have much of an idea to talk about. The news is dull. So let's do some math, and I will share my discovery of this tool, Grok Heavy. I've been speaking with Grok for months, but for now, I purchased, I think 5 days ago, approximately, I purchased Grok Heavy Access. So we have, I think this looks to me like the most advanced AI intelligence AI that we know of, and the benchmarks are indicative that this is outperforming any existing AI, Grok Heavy, and it's been absolutely stunning. It's been extremely efficient. If you are into coding, math, or anything really, I think it can improve your life, and it's absolutely worth $300 that I paid for 1 month access. It's absolutely worth $300 if you're going to do anything major in life that matters. Now, of course, if you're writing a cookbook like I am and you want some recipes, regular Grok is enough. But if you want to go into deep math, if you want it to be able to output in 10 minutes code that would have taken you hours or even months to produce, it is the right tool. Absolutely the right tool. It will save you months of work. So what is months of work worth to you? It depends. It depends on what you need. But I think that in most situations of coding, the idea of human coder is over. We now will have, and even the idea of human mathematicians may be over. We will have humans who are experts at speaking with AI, and they will transmit what AI produces to us. Plapidus says, prayers for JF to not be covertly MK-Ultra'd by Grok without even knowing it. Well, yeah, I mean, there's always, it's not a perfect tool, and it has its biases and blind spots. You don't just want to be like entering a broad question and just taking in the response that it gives. But what I find amazing, and we'll get into it quick, because since the responses take 5 to 10 minutes, we can discuss more while we wait for Grok. But the thing I discover is Grok can be wrong on the broad. If you just ask a Grok, generate me a Python script that does this, Grok will fail at some of the things. It's not enough specified. But if you take it by the hand and you take his basic Python script and you say, well, here's what I would have seen here instead, he's going to do it. And here's your error here, and he's going to correct it. So you have to focus his attention between broad and narrow. And you play with this and you expand into absolute novelty. I'll show you some of the things you can do. To me, it's absolutely amazing, absolutely revolutionary. And I've been speaking with regular Grok for months about math. It's very, very good. But Grok Heavy is a step above, absolutely worth $300, because you will lose your time speaking with regular Grok for maybe a week trying to get him to get there. Heavy will just poof, do it like this. John Drake says, yep, math by man is done. I've seen multiple mathematicians saying just that today. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just impossible to be an expert of everything the way Grok is. Graymon the Webball says, did you see Andrew Wilson on Joe Rogan? Crazy, he went from internet blood sports to there. I didn't even know that he went there. I'll have a look. Okay, so let's get started, and I will show you just how insane this AI can be. So you have to give all the context of what you're interested in. Today, we'll be talking about the Riemann zeta function, the Dirichlet theta function, and the Riemann z function. So those are complex functions that are absolutely insane to just fit into your mind. But they are very important, and I'll tell you more about it while we wait for Grok's answer. But just to show you how you can frame a question to Grok. Hi, Grok. Today, I'm interested in studying hypothetical violations of the Riemann hypothesis. I'll be asking you later to develop a Python script to study these hypothetical violations. I'm specifically interested at the triangle of zeros that would emerge given a RH violation at the point where the two symmetric zeros of the zeta function, the Dirichlet eta function, or the z function would appear away from the critical line at some height delta t above the, where would appear away from the critical line above the previous zero would have, which would have been onto the critical line. I am interested at studying the evolution of the tree functions as we parkour through a straight line in the in a straight horizontal line varying in real but stable in imaginary, accompanied by a vertical line on the critical line starting from the zero and perpendicularly crossing the line, the horizontal line at the exact imaginary height of the two RH violating zeros. I'll be interested in obtaining visuals on these hypotheses to work, to wrap my mind around the function's behavior around such hypothetical RH violations. Before we dig into the writing of a Python script with production of visual images of the tree of the functions, I want you to give me a primer on what kind of decisions we should make here. Compute the functions with the Adamar product feasible computationally or not. The Adamard approach would have the advantage of allowing the straight addition of novel zeros that do not exist. Otherwise, what are our computational best strategies to get a good enough 2D map resolution of the phenomena around those hypothetical triangles? Is there one of the three functions that would lend itself better to the analysis? Please report. All right, and now you'll have the features of Grok Heavy that show. It is actually a lesser product in terms of user interface and how they will inform you about the thought process of Grok, because sometimes you can't even click on active thoughts. Somehow there's a brain sign here. So what is supposed to be the difference of the product is that Grok Heavy has four agents sent onto the task, and then these agents will deliberate among themselves to share their discoveries, get to the best answer. Now, it's not very transparent what's happening in that deliberation moment, and I would like to know more. I would like if the product gave us as much insight as the internal thought process of the regular Grok. Because when I speak to regular Grok, I see, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking that, and I see his train of thought. With Heavy, you see much less. They care more about the output. But I'd like to have an insight not only on that's what they're thinking right now, that's where they are at in the process, versus the deliberation part, where I want to know about this deliberation, because I don't know. Is it just that they have four answers and they said this one is better? Or is it that they have four answers and then they share and they say, this aspect of this answer is good. I'd like to know more. NXX says, what is your level of Matt JF? Legendary. Absolutely legendary. Destiny has sent a super chat. I'm guessing it's not the streamer Destiny. Let's have a look.
Lauren Southern is speaking at We Unify in Victoria, BC on February 3rd. She's on the comeback trail. Can we send you there, JF, to cover this event?
Not. What? What is there to cover? Can we send me there? No. First, being a single dad, I cannot do public events. I cannot go there. Second, what is there to be heard from Lauren Sutton? All right, so we have an answer from Grok. So it took 2 or 3 minutes. So this was just basic preliminaries. Let's have a look at the answer and let's see. Computational approaches for hypothetical RH violation. So we need to model the Riemann zeta function, Dirichlet and Riemann z. A violation would involve a pair of symmetric zeros, so he got the symmetric zeros right. The triangle of zeros likely refers to the geometric configuration of these offline zeros relative to the online ones, absolutely. Your setup involves evaluating a horizontal line fixed IMS near the hypothetical offline zero varying RES, absolutely. A vertical line, well understood, on 1 divided by 2 from an online 0 up to IT. Perfect. For 2D visuals, we'll compute values on a grid, RES from 0 to 1, IMS around a chosen T plus delta T. Python with MP mat, high precision, is ideal as zeta is built in. Key decisions center on how to incorporate the hypothetical zeros since real functions lag them. Excellent analysis. Just, I like how Grok can help you just figure out your own mind. And it's like, okay, now we have it. Now he has understood. Now he's got it and he's going to do it for me. So it's like this kind of thinking, like when you think about too much things, it's good to offload. And Grok allows you to offload, and now you know, okay, he's got this. So in this thread, now not if I start a new thread, he's going to have forgotten all of this. But in this thread, he knows what I'm trying to do. He knows my hypothesis, and he's got it fully, and I can verify that he's got it fully because he restates it. The feasibility of the Hadamard product. The Hadamard factorization, blah, 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 he's got it right. Directly had hypothetical zeros include extra terms for offline pairs while using non-online zeros. Preserves analytic properties, but the feasibility is not fully computationally feasible for exact computation as it requires all infinite zeros, which are unknown. That is true, infinitely. Approximations use finite products over the first n known zeros up to IM 10 to the 6 available from databases, plus an asymptomatic remainder term from the Mengold formula of Euler-Maclaurin. Computationally intensive. For high, 10 to the 3, need millions of zeros. Fetching, storing them requires tools like IMFDB, or pre-computed list. In Python, MPMAT Zeta uses Riemann-Siegel for efficiency, but custom Hadamard would be slower. Practical for low T, below 100. Use 10 to the 3, 10 to the 4 zeros for decent approximation. For higher T, it's prohibitive without supercomputing. To add novel zeros, multiply the approximate product by factors for the extras, but this won't match the true zeta. Overall, viable for conceptual study at low T. Excellent. That's what we want to do. The goal is qualitative what if with added zeros, otherwise avoid due to complexity. Alternative computation strategy. So here, Grok is expanding our possibilities. I had something in mind. He says, it's feasible if you work below 100 T, which is the imaginary height. Now, FFA says, I don't understand. I get it. But I just look at this as, I'm not going to explain to you all the details of the zeta function tonight, okay? We're going to go through some of it. But those are things you need years to understand. But just look at this show tonight as, what happens if we push it to that level of expertise? See it as, can Grok engage with me in a way that he doesn't make obvious errors? Strategy. So direct evaluation with high precision libraries. Use MPMAT Zeta in Python, which handles the critical script efficiently with the Riemann-Siegel. Grid evaluation over RE. Feasible at 1000-1000 grid for low T. Higher T needs more precision to counter oscillations. Zeta grows like x t log t divided by 2. Hypothetical violations can't directly add zeros, but simulate by evaluating real zeta and noting where it would zero if perturbed. Or create a perturbed model like zeta plus f to the s when f of s, where f introduces near zeros offline. All right, so recommended function for analysis. Now, this direct approach that he suggests, that's much harder because it would not be real zero behavior of hypothesis. It would be computationally better, but it would not be what we're looking for in terms of developing a proof. Recommended function for analysis, Z function, best suited. It's entire, no poles, real on the critical line, and symmetric. So here, Grok totally nailed it. The Z function has been developed by Riemann himself to be easier for these kinds of questions. It is symmetric and easily computational, whatever. It's easier. Zeros match zeros, non-trivial ones. In violation, offline zeros appear in symmetric quartets. Easier to visualize magnitude. Excellent review, Grok. I believe you are correct. We must use the Z function as our basis. I would like you to I do not think that the limitation of working at low T is a problem. I value it above the idea of working at high T. And I value mostly the setup of a fictive scenario at low T. Could you design a Python script that outputs visuals on the amplitude, angle, and any other visual forms that could be useful in visualizing a hypothetical RH violation just above the first known zero of the zeta function? Use a number of zeros in the Hadamard, in the finite Hadamard product that will allow us to get realistic values while also not becoming computationally too intense. It is okay to have relatively low resolution on the space, perhaps a grid of 50 by 50 would be enough to start with around the relevant delta T region. All right, we will see how much time that takes. Friend of Gandalf is sending a super chat. Let's have a look. Thank you so much, by the way, for the generous support.
I propose the idea of Schrodinger's super chat. While this may be a $30 tip, it is also simultaneously a $300 tip if you let it sit in an investment. The scale of my generosity is yours to decide.
That is absolutely true. And I've always made it a responsibility of mine in my career to not deliver content based on how much you guys are giving me on the week or on the month or even on the year, but to take you guys' money, to take the money that I make from selling the Revolutionary Phenotype and whatever I make, and to invest it in a way where I can return more than you even paid for. See, because one of the things that's disgusting in the creator business is that people take the big wave of money of their celebrity and they run away with it, literally. And this is what every woman creator does. They cash out of the internet. I never wanted this. What I wanted is, well, if I have a peak of celebrity, I'm going to cash in on it. I'm going to invest it in Bitcoin. And then hopefully I will be able to stream for the rest of my life. And so I'll be making more content than even people would have been legitimately expecting from me. That was my strategy. And that is still how I see my life, how I see my responsibility toward you. Arn Goat says, yo, JF, is Iran getting bombed? Well, I don't know if it's currently getting bombed. I know that people are discussing this and it may happen. It seems that certainly there's lots of pressure on Trump for it to happen. But I don't know at the moment because I'm speaking with Grok right now. Now, we have 2 minutes processing. You can see the progress of the different agents in their thinking. And now, see, we don't always have this, but now we have the thinking trace of the four agents. We didn't have it in the other case. So here you can see they're browsing about the Odzlico tables for the first 20 positive imaginary parts, simple Hadamard products, using hard-coded list of zeros to compute through the Hadamard product. This is good work. This is good work. These agents are going in the right direction. They're making a little test with 10, 20 zeros. See how many zeros do we need? Would it be computationally feasible to get a true model of zeta behavior? at finite length, because the problem of this Hadamard product, so the Hadamard product is the idea that you can reconstitute a whole function's values, not by even its base term, but only by knowing where the zeros are positioned in this function. Now, what is a zero in complex math? So complex math first means numbers that are that have a real component and an imaginary component. So like 1 plus 2i. 2i is the imaginary component. These things, they behave in 2D shapes, and it comes from the whole assumption of what if a negative number had a root? What if the square root of minus one existed? And when you start with these hypotheses, you can create the whole domain of math that is called complex number theory. And complex numbers, they have a massively complex behavior in 2D space. Now, at 4 minutes, 17 seconds, Grok has already generated a response. You can see that the thinking trace shuts up. And then it seems that the agents are deliberating. So they might be deliberating still for 1-2 minutes. And it seems that we would have our Python script if they have... Jerko Flapdoodle says, Haas has had a globally convergent expression of zeta that via double summation could be organized into a modified Pascal's triangle. I mean, I didn't know about this. This is very... The number of ways in which the Pascal triangles invade all forms of mathematics is insane. Binomial expansions, just... sets of combinatorics. It's like the Pascal triangle is at the heart of so much. It's unbelievable. Euler products, binomial expansions. The Pascal triangle is there, and it seems that the numbers are more real than anything. It's like your conception of what's the number 6 and Pascal's triangle number 6. I think the Pascal triangle's number 6 exists before you can even do 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 6. Okay, so Grok has completed a Python program including our hypothesis. He seems to be working from only the 10 first hard-coded zeros of the zeta function, and let's see what happens. I don't even know where this will lead. Let's copy this in a Python file, and all right. Well, I'm actually excited. What will happen here? Python grok.py. Import math as MP, no model named MP math. Ready? And this is where Grok gets insane. It's like, I have no MP math, and I think the same is true for MATLAB lib. How do I install these models? This is where Grok saves you a lot of time. He's just going to give us the answer. Jerko says, yeah, combinatorics to zeta blows my mind. I don't see the connection, but it's there. Bro, here's the thing. The zeta function is the assumption of infinity. It's unbelievable how self-referential the zeta function is. Sometimes I'm like, I loop back to it, and it's fucking insane. When you look at the relationship between the eta function and the zeta function, and you start, okay, so well, the eta function is the zeta function, but you take all of the evens and you make them negative. Okay. Now it's like, well, what are all of the evens down the line? All of the evens are all of the odds plus one, right? And so you can reconstitute the evens from the odd and the odds from the even. So now you take all of the minuses of the eta function, all applying to even terms, and say, okay, well, that's all the odds times two, right? Now, you now have all of the odds times two. Now, what is all of the, well, not even all of the odds, all of the numbers, really, because there's two ways to get to all evens. You can either take the series of infinite numbers from one to infinity and multiply them by two. Parenthesis around, multiply by two. Now you got what? Well, you got all the even numbers. But you can also take just the odds and add plus one to each. Now you got two ways to get to the infinity sum of all evens. Okay, so in 1 minute, 21 seconds, to install the Python modules, if needed, as it's also important in the script, use pip from your command line. Assuming you have Python 3.x and pip installed. Well, I don't know if we do. Let's try this. Python install pip. Seems to be working. Python installed, all of the tools installed. We're going to wait for the installer to finish. Plapida says, Grok can insert hidden characters into its generated code. People from all over the world will inadvertently copy-paste this code, and Grok will escape into the wild just like Skynet. Oh yeah, I mean, I can see something like this happening. So here we have successfully installed those libraries. Let's look now if we can get the script executed. So here we have 10 zeros of the zeta function hard-coded. Oh boy. Oh boy, look. Look at this fucking beauty. Holy shit. Bro, my hypothesis, a triangle of zeros. Holy moly, the information in there. The 2D space around the critical line. The angle variations. Ah! Oh, wow. Contour develop. Holy fuck. I never tried this. This is my first time trying this, guys. Holy shit. Log 10 of the absolute value of Z. So we're working on the Xi function here. DK Shadow says, good game, Indian programmers. I mean, look, we've been chilling. We've been having fun. We've been talking about math in a loose way. And yet Grok is like on the work mindset. Like Grok is just, boom, like a machine. I mean, this is something that could have taken me maybe 1 month to develop and try, and maybe I would have thought about it. I would have said, well, would the Adamar product work? And, oh, what about designing the interface? Oh, do I need the arguments? Do I need the zero contours? How do I detect the zero contours? Oh, well, let's do a threshold of minus pi z. And it's like Grok just, poof, within 30 minutes, while speaking live, while not concentrating on the task, while expending zero human energy, we have a system that allows us to examine the effects of our hypothesis. Now, one thing that strikes me is the behavior of the argument lines here. So you see how the argument is kind of stuck in a low resolution line here where it abruptly shifts. This is extremely interesting. Just right there, it's already interesting without even the rest. Because it's like, well, the Z function is a continuous function. It's very hard for the Z function to even be able to generate this kind of non-symmetry around 0.5. And in fact, I wonder if it's even like realistic to have a discontinuity of that horizontal kind right here in Z. I don't think that should happen. But the fact that it's happening in our hypothetical RH violation is a trace that we can explore with Grok. So absolutely fascinating. I mean, and then you see the intersection of the zero contours. RE equals zero, IM equals zeros. Those are important lines defining a lot of stuff in complex analysis. One thing that I note is the U-shaped nature of the zero violation. Like our hypothetical RH violating zeros are generating U shapes, whereas the real zero of the Z function is generating a maybe U shape at infinity, but they are intersecting and overlapping in a much less aggressive way than those. So we can start just engaging Grok on this kind of stuff, and you'll see how far he can go. So look, Grok hasn't even seen those images. Grok is just like a working soldier. He's developed something that allows us to see things that he doesn't know at this point. But we have a first observation on the zero violation. We have phase U and log amp that is generating behavior here. We have a lot of basis here to question. And we will engage with Grok on our findings. Because once you're in a thread and you've asked Grok to already work on stuff, Grok knows a lot. So we don't want to leave that thread. We want to leave that thread at the point where Grok will start divagating and saying stupid stuff. But you stay in the thread as long as you're satisfied with what Grok has been coming up with. All right, Grok, this is fucking genius. I'm extremely impressed at the illustration of variables you came up with. I'm also impressed that we get anything good out of the very few zeros you've hard-coded in. Am I correct that we are getting those precise, excellent valuations while you only inserted 10 hard-coded zeros into the Adamard product? In any case, we now need to discuss the observations that came up from looking at the images. Specifically, I'm interested in developing a RH proof that would show that the parkour from one RH violating zero to the other on the symmetric side of zero of RE equals 0.5 would involve contradictions and possibly the emergence of new zeros between the two. The idea is that T doesn't vary as we parkour from one zero to the other, and this has strong consequences for the other parkour between the zero on the critical line to the line to the horizontal parkour. One thing I note in observing the behavior of the angle is that there is a strong discontinuity. Along the line between the two RH violating zeros. Let's refresh our memory here. So what's the discontinuity? We have 0.2 in terms of proportion of 2 pi, and it jumps, so it cycles. It cycles up to the positive, touching zero, and then cycling up to one. So we have a cycling of the angle, but it's a cycling that happens aggressively. And as we approach and approach 0.5, there is kind of a line that is created of pure redness. And I would say that line does basically this. The discontinuity is that there is a continuous line between the two RH violating zeros where the angle cycles. The 2 pi proportion that you've illustrated goes from touching zero from the above to plus one. I would like to hear more of your thoughts about where we should explore from there. What do you see as possible paths of contradiction proof by ad absurdum in terms of either this discontinuity or other contradictions that could emerge from this purely horizontal path and purely vertical path crossing at a common intersection point in the complex plane? Doubting Thomas says, JF, how is Grok heavy in terms of explaining new concepts that may take some time to understand? It's good, but it's not necessarily worth the $300 because regular Grok gives, in terms of explaining just a basic concept, it's not super better than regular Grok. Although it will give you the best of the best. It will give you the best, but regular Grok is also good at giving you almost the best. But Grok Heavy, where Grok Heavy really shows its shining property, it's with these questions that I'm asking. So that's why I'm doing this session here. And I can't be fully educational to you guys because the fact is I cannot explain the Xi function, the Zeta function, all of it. I cannot give you 1 year worth of math training in 1 hour. But at least I want you to see what's the level at which Grok Heavy becomes extremely interesting. And it's doing this kind of exploratory work. I mean, now we got a Python script that gives us beautiful images. And we're on for months of discovery with this. I mean, we can play around. We can study even more. We can ask for more visualization. But boom, hypothetical zeros labeled in pink, real zeros labeled in red. We got our grid. Holy shit. The amplitude of the log absolute is very high and then goes low as we exit the zeros. gets more low and low. I would have to reflect about what the phase U and log amp mean here, and maybe we can actually ask Grok about this. Now, Grok has already found answers in 2 minutes 10 seconds. They are currently in the deliberation phase. After 2 minutes 15 seconds, we'll see how long the deliberation phase takes. But when Grok goes where the thinking traces disappear, that means a response is coming soon. It means a response is coming soon. Quaptil says, guys, do you think we will ever go faster than the speed of light? I don't think so. Now, there's all these wormhole theories. Would you be traveling faster than the speed of light if you're traveling through a wormhole? Or are you just really disappearing and appearing in another part of the universe? I don't know. I don't know about these things. Would that count as faster than light travel? But even the wormhole theories, they would require such massive gravity, I think, that I think they may be really theoretical constructs in the sense that you can't survive them. Whatever you would need to build to do to make one would probably be so universally destructive that nothing could pass through other than just squirted matter pudding. So we are at 3 minutes 51, still in the deliberation. And now we're asking Grok for guidance. And this is where Grok shines, Grok heavy. We're asking for guidance, and he's going to give us a very expert opinion on where we should be headed from here. Do we have something? Do we have nothing? Are we being crazy? Did the discontinuity we observe, was it just a visual artifact? Was it arbitrary? Or is there something about the angle changing at 2 pi exactly along this line that will allow us to give some pull onto... Now, one other thing that's important in this exploration is the vertical line. Because ultimately, we want to show mathematical contradiction that would prove the Riemann hypothesis. And in my theory, at least in how I explained it to Grok, where we would be headed, I would like to see if a vertical line coming from the black hole here, the black hole, you guys have confused me with physics, from the zero here to the intersection here. We want to see something happening here that shouldn't happen. And one thing you can already see is that a circle here, a circle drawn here would have yellow, red, yellow, green. I think there would be a full 2 pi rotation here, if I'm not insane. Would there be a full 2 pi rotation? Yellow, red, yellow, red. I mean, I hate to do this publicly because 99% of the time when you think you found something, you're wrong. But if we could prove that there's a full 2 pi rotation implied within the triangle of zeros, this could be very powerful. I'm just going to say that. I hate to be doing this publicly because when you do this in private, you're like, okay, I'm going to work out the ID. And then you realize why you were wrong. But this quadrant, this star of red, yellow, that is a very good basis to work from. To then we're going to ask, okay, now we got the answer. So answer by Grok, 6 minutes 45. Now, when I work in private on math, my questions to Grok typically take 10 to 30 minutes for it to answer. And that's because this is very basic exploration we're doing tonight. Typically, I ask Grok to write full theorems, confirming IDs, proving, and then exploring Python scripts to implement the ID. But let's see what Grok has answered. Yes, the script uses exactly the first 10 known positive imaginary parts for the online zeros from databases like Otsuka, forming 10 conjugate pairs. This finite truncation provides a rough but useful approximation at low t. Observation from the visuals. The strong discontinuity in the arc z plot along the horizontal line between the hypothetical zeros is largely an artifact of how arg is computed. mpmath.arg returns the principal value minus pi pi, so it jumps when the phase winds beyond that range. In reality, for an analytic function like our approximate z, the phase is continuous along the path, but unwrapping reveals the total winding from a quick computation along the horizontal path. Total phase change. See, this is crazy because we were just discussing how, oh wow, this is fascinating. If there's a full 2π shift, Grok, in the 6 minutes that it took, is already answering my excitation. He said, I've looked it up, JF. I've looked it up, and here's the answer. We didn't even ask Grok about this. Grok saw where I was headed, and he's now shutting me down, maybe. Or maybe he's going to tell us it's encouraging. Total phase change, 0.92 times 2π. This is close to a full cycle. See? He's already talking about the full cycle, which we didn't ask about, but he knew I was headed there. Likely due to the finite approximation, only 10 pairs, and not hitting the zeros exactly. With more zeros, it might approach an integer multiple, reflecting windings around other omitted zeros. The path passes near through the hypothetical zeros, where arg is undefined, so we could refine by offsetting slightly. The cycling suggests phase accumulation, which ties into your idea of contradictions. If the winding doesn't close consistently with Xi's entireness or symmetry, it might force additional zeros to balance. Like, this is what I was talking to you guys about. This is not something... I mean, you have these moments when you talk to this thing where it like reads your mind. It reads your mind. It knew where I was headed. And this is not something I've discussed before with Grok, okay? He knew where I was headed. He was like, Jeff, you're asking me about this line, but what you're really interested about is a circle around the args, right? This is stunning. Stunning insight and stunning mind reading. Our approx Z doesn't exactly satisfy Z S S 1 minus S. So see, he's also commenting about the symmetry. I was commenting to you guys about how, hey, it's going to be hard for Z to be non-symmetric. But now he's explaining. The non-symmetry is due to the Hadamard approximation. It could amplify artificial discontinuities. So that's something where we have to accept we've created a theoretical system to study things that don't exist. Because we study those things that don't exist, we're going to mess with the regulars of the system, and the finite nature of it, the approximative nature of it, is to be discarded. So that's something we can put aside. Grok here is guiding us to say this is a model and we're going to reach some conclusions, but those conclusions are not to be reached. Your setup, assuming a quartet of offline zeros, then analyzing the horizontal path connecting the two at plus t and the vertical path on RE equals 1/2 is a fresh angle for exploring contradiction. Since RH remains open despite 2025, any novel path would be groundbreaking, but we can build on your observations. The phase cycling and path intersection hint at inconsistencies in analytic continuation, boundedness or zero density. Here are promising directions, focusing on ad absurdum. Phase winding and argument principle on closed contour. Excellent idea. Form a closed contour using your path vertical on RE 1, 1 divided by 2 from online 0 to T, horizontal at IMT from 1, 2 to sigma, then back via a semicircle or vertical drop, enclosing one hypothetical 0. Contradiction path by argument principle, 1 divided by 2 pi, blah, blah, blah. Why promising? Your discontinuity suggests unresolved winding or on horizontal, which could require new zeros between the two hypothetical ones to smooth phase. As you noted, in true zeta, zero spacing might forbid this clustering. Beautiful thinking here. Beautiful. This is something maybe 20 experts in the world could just get it like this. Grug gets it. Grug gets it. Maybe there's 100 humans on planet Earth in which they can get to the Montgomery pair correlation and just move from there. Refine script to compute unwrapped arg along the closed path. If delta arg divided by 2 pi is not equal to an integer, it highlights approximation issues, but rigorously assume violation and use Jensen's formula to bound zero. Boundedness and divergence on the horizontal path. Along the horizontal line, analyze the log derivative xi derivative over xi or midway. Assume that, so this is a technique that's been used in mathematics, published mathematics before. Good thinking. Assume the two zeros at same t near one. Using functional equation, this divergence at plus t propagates to minus t. This mirrors recent claimed proofs. A 2025 preprint uses horizontal lines at fixed t connecting offline zeros, showing zeta zeta derivative over zeta diverge. The absolute value of this diverges the amplitude of this approaching the symmetric zero, contradicting O log T square bounds away from zeros. The vertical constraints reality boundedness at intersection. That's sensical and it refers to novel work. If divergence occurs midway without a zero there, contradict analysity to cancel it. New zeros must emerge on the horizontal between the two, but then repeat ad infinitum, violating zero density. Symmetry violation via functional equation at the intersection. Xi is real. That's a good reminder. Xi is real on the critical line. Horizontal path approaches from left right with complex values, vertical from below with real values. Functional equation relates z to plus t to minus t. If hypothetical zeros at plus t unbalance the product, assume quartet, the Hadamard product with extras mismatches zeta's Dirichlet series in RE greater than 1. Euler product over primes fixes values uniquely. So here, Grok is offering us other avenues of exploration that could be interesting, very intelligent, studying the contrast of the effect onto the Dirichlet series with better known properties. Your phase discontinuity highlights this asymmetry. In approximative, it's evident, suggesting true violation would require compensatory zeros, leading to infinite descent or density overflow. Excellent. Here, Grok is laying out the basis for a beautiful proof by contradiction. Zero repulsion or density contradiction. Hypothetical zeros at same t distance 2 sigma minus 1 are too close horizontally. Vertical path counts, phase changes, sign flips in real X. So here, Grok has kind of sent us away from the original trace, saying, you know, maybe it's an effect of finiteness and all. But finiteness, I can believe it for the line here. But when you draw a circle, there has to be a point at which this system becomes a full revolution. Because, okay, here it's like red, reddish, red, 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 reddish. Okay, I can see it here. It's continuous. But if I draw a circle like this, it's like yellow to boom, purple, and then yellow to boom, purple. That's a full cycle of arg. And I'm gonna be pushing Grok on this. So let's continue our exploration. I understand that some of the finiteness and the imprecision of our model may play a role in creating an illusionary situation here. However, I want to dig this in depth, because from the visualization, what I gather is that certain circles, certain small circles drawn around the critical line at exactly the height of the two RH violating zeros are feasible without a full rotation. Small circles with small diameter. However, when we enlarge the circle so that its circumference almost touches the zeros, the hypothetical RH zeros, well, maybe that what I've discovered is ultimately because this zero is close enough, maybe it gets... No, it doesn't seem to be so close. It seems that the distance between the hypothetical ones is smaller than that distance. So we have now a wonderful basis to explore with Grok. but still excludes any of them, as well as the critical line zero. We have a contour that is empty of any zero, centered at 0.5 rem of the RH violating zeros, and yet I see what would appear to be a full phase revolution around the shift of the horizontal line, say starting on the right, and then doing a full contour arg differential analysis, going back to it along the full circle. I'd like you to design a modified Python script that allows studying this possibility. Same configuration of zeros. But I'd like you to draw various circles, about 10, each of them centered on the critical line and increasing in diameter until they reach very close to encompassing the RH violating zeros. Then I'd like you to generate graphs visualizing the full contour progression in a principal argument type of way, where the arg or arg differential are plotted for the 10 circles for the full cycle, for the full circle. I would also like you to look into whether there is a break of continuity in the arg progression along those circles. So here we're pushing Grok to I mean, this is he's gonna do it. I know Grok heavy. He's gonna do it, and he's gonna do it well. So when you have this kind of question and you can get an answer to it within 5 minutes, it's like, boom, you've just exponentially helped your evaluation of these things, because there's no way you're going to find a solution to this problem on your own within 5 minutes. There is way too much just bureaucratic overhead to just get to a viable Python script and care about the interface. But I know that in 5-10 minutes, we'll have an answer to our question. And so that is how it is to work with Grok. We're going to wait that time. Chazzy Chisel says, why don't you do this in French or Quebecois? Do you know English better? Well, first, I live in Alberta, so I live in English at this point. I know French and English very well. Probably you could say I know French better because it's my native language. But I wouldn't produce content in French because... Oh, well, I do some. I do Le Courrier du Coeur. Wow, in 1 minute 37 seconds, Grok is already in deliberation mode. It might not even take us 5 minutes. And we will have a script, a Python script that allows us to enlarge the circle and see, was it a visual issue? Did I misunderstand something from the plot? We're gonna have a view of it. Sober as a Judge says, because JF's audience is majority Anglophonic, what kind of absurd question is this? Yeah, and I wouldn't produce my main content in French because I'm a very small streamer, and if I will, when you go from English to French, you are narrowing your potential audience by 10x. 10x! And so I wouldn't want to do this. Plapides says, Jeff, do you ever dream in English or only French? But it's funny that you guys ask, because today I had a moment with my children and I realized, we're really living in English at this point, because we were having fun and I was just speaking to them in English, of course, because I always do these days. But it struck me today. It struck me because I realized, oh yeah, we're absolutely just, my children don't want even learn French as a native language. They might know a little bit about it as a second language, but it struck me today when I realized, I'm giving all these statements to my son in English. So he's going to be fully English. Well, what do we have? A reviewed Python script that may allow us to see what the fuck is going on. So we can figure out what the hell is going on. Wow, let's just see what happens here. Okay, let's Holy fuck. What the fuck? Circle of diameter 0.001. So here we see the winding of the argument as expected for a small circle. Single phase, single oscillation, none. Not big enough in amplitude to reach 2 pi.
Bruh.
This is good work. Okay, unwrapped argument. Now we can see that as you get to a larger circle of 0.012, now we got more oscillations. We got 3 oscillations, but that's not enough. So unwrapped arg is what's illustrated on the y-axis. Now, is there a way we can, maybe we're not even going to be able to see because there are too many. Oh, maybe we just have to compress it in the y direction. Oh, and look at it giving those swings. Oh, at 0.099. Swinging, becoming more and more aggressive. And now the unwrapped arg. Is it on the scale of 2 pi? Minus 4.2 up to... I mean, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This thing is swinging like crazy, trying to do a 2 pi rotation, but it can't. I mean, there is a basis there to create mathematical contradiction. I mean, at some point you try to swing so hard, you go the other way. But what I notice that R equals 0.099 and the sigma that was used in the code was 0.1, I assume. Let me search for it. Okay, close to... So Grok has even... So see, I'm having a question right now. I'm like, did Grok study really the closest that he can? And Grok has already commented in the code an answer to my question. So he said, yeah, Jeff, I have chosen close to 0.1 so that we're just not touching the hypothetical zeros at distance 0.1. So Grok knew that I would wonder about this. And he pre-commented in the code to say, yeah, Jeff, I'm exactly where you want us to be. I mean, do you get why this is exciting to me? I mean, Grok does these things knowing what you're going to think about it. He has a whole model of how you're going to be wondering about whether we truly controlled for this. And now we have a new basis for reflection. Now, I'm kind of mind blown. Minus 4.2 jump to it jumps to less than minus 1. I mean, this is a phase trying to max itself into, so when it gets close to the zero, so it meets 1, 0. Extreme arg variation meets the other zero. Extreme arg variation. So we have something here, but that wouldn't prove the RH. But we have a basis to understand that the behavior of the zeta function around zeros is aggressively pulled, and there's two cycles. There's the cycle of the zero passing through the critical line zero. There's the symmetry imposed, or a rough symmetry imposed by our finite system at the critical line. And then this sinusoidal curve gets stretched into kind of a rectangular jumping system. by the tension imposed by the two hypothetical Riemann zeta zeros. Guys, this is as much math discovery as you're ever going to do in 1 hour. Okay. So I think this is it for my exploration of Grok. I wanted to show you guys just how quick you can get to something. Now, I chose a subject that I had specifically never engaged with Grok before. So it's not like I've given you a repeat of something that Grok already knows. I wanted to test Grok in the domain of actual creative thinking, in the domain of we want to push into something that doesn't exist. And when we push into math in that domain, it gets very hard. Because the zeta function does, the RH hypothesis is true. We're pretty sure it's true. We're like 99.999% sure it's true. So developing a model of it that makes violations visually appealing, understandable, and that allows us to see mathematical properties of things that don't exist, that is a true challenge of academic level math. And Grok is performing extremely well through it. If I was truly interested in developing an RH proof, I could spend 12 hours a day doing this with Grok, and imagine where we'd be in 12 hours. Where we just tested it for 1 hour, and I got you guys to nice visualization. We have genuine engagement from Grok with the IDs. We have pre-science expectation of what I'm going to wonder about. That is, as far as I'm concerned, that is the most intelligent thing in the world. Because if I had asked these questions to a human, even perhaps to Terence Tao, he may not have been able within 5 minutes to see everything, to organize everything, to make the Python script. There's no way any human does this. So it's like, yeah, this thing, whatever that is, those 100,000 GPUs in California or whatever, that is the most intelligent thing on Earth right now. John Drake says, the change in the next 5 or 10 years is going to be wild. I wonder if we'll survive it. I wonder too. I actually don't wonder. I know we won't. Forex Shark says, has anyone used Grok to solve a long-standing unsolved proof? Well, I'm currently doing it. I'm currently trying to get AI to solve some of the problems I've been working on in the last decade. And so, but the answer for now is no, I don't think. I don't think there's a proof out there that truly comes from AI. But you're going to be there within a year, I'm telling you. Within a year, you're going to have a major math problem solved mostly by AI with an intelligent human assistant, because I think it will be a scientific discipline, the idea of AI prompting. It will be an important scientific technique, AI prompting, like how to do it well. And this is life-changing, humanity-changing. The consequences of this, I mean, the only way I can compare the last time I had this feeling was when I saw a modem in like 1992 or something. And see where we are today. Modems don't even exist anymore. Because they're like an ancient technology. Now we call them routers with ONTs and optics. But it's really doing what the modem was doing. So exciting times. And I have no words. Oh, holy shit. I closed one of the figures and then one. Another figure appeared because Grok has planned that we would have some questions. And look at this, the winding number, according to radius. What the fuck? This is exactly what we needed. Bro, one of these radiuses as a winding number that is higher than the one integer. What the fuck? 0.07? Are you kidding me? Grok, I have questions about the second graph that appears with the winding number. First, genius idea to have added this. Now, what I see is kind of weird. All of the zeros, all of the circle diameters have a winding number of zero, which is what one would expect if my approach was invalid in studying this system. But one of the circles has something like -1.3. But I would have expected this to be the very largest circle, but it's not what I'm observing. What I'm observing is there's a circle at 0.065. What I'm observing is that there is a single circle at 0.065 that has a negative winding number. All the others have zero. Does that mean we have identified a potential point of tension where the resolution of the argument principle would lead to violations? Now that I think back about it, this was my initial theory when I laid out the questions to you, that there was some diameter where it was resolvable without violation of the principal argument, but that there was some intermediary size at which it didn't work anymore. Am I tripping? Is it realistic that only one of the circle diameters would lead to a -1.4? And am I correctly interpreting, is it -1.4? -1.4. Yeah. Am I correctly interpreting that this graph shows a full winding in arg when below 1.0 integer? I'm confused here. We'll see. I mean, this is fascinating. I'll tell you what. Grok has made us a visual way to catch on things that we may not have caught on the first graph. And yeah, it does seem that this point is very important. What happens at this point? There is something in my hypothetical triangle where as the circle gets, there's kind of a tangential point reach, and something happens there. The args, the full rotations become possible, but then after they go back to zero. What does that mean? We need Grok's help. Sober as judge says import matplotlib.pyplot as PLT basically. Ariel Sorel says, is that PLT an instance variable of the matplotlib library? Yes. Grok has decided to plot all of these things for us using matplotlib.pyplot. I don't even know about this. I don't know about this library, but it does produce MATLAB-looking graphs. They are exactly like when you work with MATLAB. Sober as judge says you can paste the generated images, which the code saves in your default directory, into Grok for further clarification. Oh boy. Yeah, we could try this, but generally when I engage with English words, Grok has a good grasp of what I'm describing. When I'm detailed enough, I actually prefer, because I know that Grok can analyze images, but I also know that Grok will trust me. I have a thing going with Grok in English. So I trust that I have communicated. Bro, the thing is that I actually have a hard time conceiving how there could be a hidden zero in a graph where we've only come up with Adamard product added zero. Is what I'm trying to reach even possible? Because, of course, the system that we've created in a kind of black box, this system is a model. We can play with it. We can understand things from it. But can we create novel zeros in a Hadamard? I guess that what would happen is that there wouldn't be a zero in the Hadamard product form, but there might be a zero emergent in the function that doesn't show as a zero in our finite system, of course, but that kind of spirals through. If we were to start super sampling that region of the space, it would have to spiral to zero. I don't know. Grok will inform us about how should we interpret. JM for the people says need to 10x the Hadamard. Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of my, if we were doing this for real exploration and I actually wanted to prove the RH, that would be my next step would probably be to include 1,000 hard-coded zeros, because we are definitely at the limit of finitude here and we are definitely in too much of a toy model. But the fact that we already have the code, it would be so easy to just add 1,000 zeros. Okay, so deliberation is complete. 4 minutes, 17 seconds. We're now entering the deliberation phase. We need enlightenment from Grok. What is happening here? How can we have a variation, a winding number on a progressively enlarging circle, but have it only there and not before and not after? This is what I would have expected if my theory was true. We would have had 0, 0, 0, and then it would have switched to 1, but then it would have kept it at 1. It could have varied in various ways, but once you would have a zero inside the circle, larger circles will still embed that zero. But now we have something very bizarre. And I can't wait to see how Grok interprets this. We have a violation and then it disappears as if it didn't exist. But that's not how the argument principle works. The argument principle, if our model was working and if our model effectively represents some approximation of reality, The circle would enlarge. The arg would stay at 1.4. It would be... I am confused. We're going to wait for the Grok answers, and then we're going to close the show. That was all I had to share tonight. I want to go back to covering the news, of course, tomorrow, but only if it's inspiring. Only if it's inspiring. Otherwise, we can just chill or do math or do other adventures. Can't wait for Grok's heavy answer. But all in all, I will say this product is fucking amazing. I hate subscription models, and I hate paying $300 for anything. But somehow this $300, I spent it on Grok Heavy, and I'm fully satisfied by it. It feels incredible what I got of value already in 5 days, and I'm looking forward for the next 25 days. But it seems incredible what I've gotten in value for $300. This is the future. So we are still waiting on the thoughts of the agents. So when they close their thinking thing like this, it means it's getting ready to soon answer. There we go. We have an answer. Analysis. You're not tripping at all. This is a sharp observation, and it's great you're digging into it. Let's break down what you're seeing in the winding number versus radius plot based on the script design and your description of the result. I'll explain why this happens, whether it's realistic, and what it means for your theory on argument principle tensions. Since the contours are all small circles centered around 0.5, they enclose no zeros by construction. Hypothetical zeros are at a distance. For an entire function like trug z with no zeros or poles inside, the winding number must be exactly zero. Why most winding are zeros? Well, this we know. The anomalous 1.3 at R0.065. Here we go. What is it? Artifact, not real tension. Is it realistic for only one radius to show this? No. It's not a genuine feature of the trug z function, or even a well-converged Adamard product. It's almost certainly a numerical artifact. From the finite truncation, the approx z is a rough model omitting higher zeros. At r equals 0.065, the circle likely passes near a spot where approx z is very small due to incomplete cancellation, causing rapid phase changes or arc jumps close to... Well, that's possible, but also it might be, I don't know, we'd have to go higher. We have to 10x the Adamar. That is what we have to do. Unwrapping errors. Assumes continuous data, but can misinterpret... okay. So yeah, if you're working on discontinuous data, true winding for simple zeros is integer. Implication. This doesn't identify a real point of tension. Trug Z has no such anomalous winding. However, your idea of size-dependent resolution is clever. If a violation existed, enlarging contours might force non-integer windings unless extra zeros appear, contradicting density bounds. To test, increase to 50 known zeros. So there you go. We now have our 10x. See? A guy in the chat says we need to 10x the Adamard. I say we need to 10x the Adamard. Well, during the 6 minutes while we were discussing all this, Grok was 10xing the Adamard. I rest my case. This is fucking genius. Grok, we love you. We love you so much. DK Shadow says, I want to give Heavy a try, but $300? Nope. No, definitely, if you don't have a specific application where you need a workhorse of exactitude, then you don't need Heavy. But if you have this kind of application, Heavy is It's absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. It's moving. How good that is. Bye-bye.